Hello, hello, everybody. This is Greg Verga here, along with Rick Moore, on Unfinished Music at Beach Brick Studios. We're live on msonewsports.com, and today our guests are Alexandra Grace and Josh Cominelli. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So why don't you start us off with a live song?
This one's called Lilac. Really nice. Thank you.
And you almost did it again.
And I almost did it again. I'll let you guys in on an inside joke. So a few shows ago, we had someone in here, and they had a little pause like that. And I went, hey, great song. And then she gives me a look, and they started up again. So needless to say, I'm very careful now.
That's right.
I saw the smirk on your face. You knew something was coming. So anyway, Lilac, or is there more to it, or is it just called Lilac?
Our album is called The Color Lilac, but that song's just called Lilac.
All right, so let's...
Oh, wait, The Color Lilac. Now, who came up with a... Is there such a thing as a color lilac? See, there's red, orange, yellow, green...
I mean, if you have a crayon box, you know, they have all...
Yes, they...
No,
right.
Let's just get it... Okay, lilac is a color... Okay, very nice.
So let's not bury the lead. Let's go right to that. The Color Lilac is the new project, the new album that's in mixing now?
Yeah.
All right, so why don't you talk about the process of that, like in terms of what you're writing, is you write together, write separately? How do you usually do it?
Yeah, so we write together and separately, kind of. So I came up with a few of my own songs. Josh will come up with his own stuff. But then also we'll just have, like, kind of sessions where we sit down together and just write a song, you know what I mean? So it's just kind of combined. We just combine our brains, really.
It's usually always, someone always has, like, you know, the first idea. We won't necessarily sit down and just, like, bang a song out. Like, yeah. We come in with, like, at least some sort of idea, and then we'll kind of ping it back and forth, you know?
Yeah.
And you said bang a song. That's a good segue to give a little prop to, I think, Tony Goddess has been mentioned on more shows than me or Rick. So, but Tony Goddess is the owner of Bang a Song, and that's where you're working on this album.
And Warren Babson is our producer or mixing person and recording.
Yeah, that's great.
He's doing all of that.
All
so,
right.
Yeah.
All right, how'd you guys get started? Because you're both about 15 years old. Usually when we have people in here... Well, we won't give you their ages, but they've had a lot of experience. Some of them are grizzled. Some of them are young.
Yeah.
One of the things I noticed about when rock and roll was new and when folk singing was new in the 50s and 60s, it was a blank palette. So young people could do whatever they want. They wrote whatever they want. And some of the lyrics that you get, for I'm thinking Led Zeppelin in particular, for a 21-year-old to come up with these timeless lyrics in poetry is amazing to me. So... Alexandra, start with you. How did you get started? When did you first started thinking about writing songs or writing music or writing lyrics?
Yeah, so I've always been really into poetry. Yeats is one of my favorite poets, so I kind of read a lot of poetry, that type of thing. So I actually started writing lyrics when I was probably 10 years old, I want to say. I always wrote these little poems when I was little that my mom has, like, on our refrigerator and stuff still, but I would say the first song that I wrote was probably when I was 10, and I didn't really know how to write, like, chords and music to it yet, so I, like, took an already existing song and just took the chords from that and kind of wrote lyrics to it, so, yeah.
Well, Mozart was 5, so you're on the right track.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So these songs, how did it start? How'd you get interested in poetry? I mean, your mom and dad must have read to you?
Yeah, my mom and I are both avid readers. My whole family really likes to read a lot, so we read a lot when I was younger. And I always loved poetry. I just think it's such a beautiful art form that isn't appreciated by the younger generation as much. So I just really wanted to be able to appreciate that art form. So.
Well, Josh... full disclosure here, he's a family member, and my wife is your aunt, and a lot of sports in your family, a lot of athletes in your family.
Yes.
Yep. And including mom, you know,
right.
Mom and dad,
right.
Terrific athletes. So the music thing, I don't know if Sam and Joseph, were they into music?
Well,
sister and brother.
Yeah, my obviously. I was kind of like. Well, my dad was, you know, he was pretty into music. He, when I was really young, he would, like, always, like, be fiddling on guitar and whatnot. But it never really interested me starting out. It kind of started more when I was, when I started in the elementary band, playing in school and whatnot. I was doing all the sports at first, but, like, I quit as soon as I could because, you know, that wasn't my thing. But I started off, you know, in the school band and then, you know... I was doing trumpet at first and moved on to guitar, and then that's when, like, my dad and I were, like, you know, we kind of had, like, that between us without doing guitar and whatnot.
Did Doc Siders, were you guys both in the... Did you go to Gloucester High?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how we...
We were both, yeah. That's pretty much
started.
How we started. Was
so that was with Dave Adams, right? Mr.
Yeah,
Adams.
Right.
Yeah, Mr. Adams.
And I mean, you guys... Is that where you learn music, learn how to play music and read music and stuff?
Not really. My mom's a singer. And then my dad is a drummer, so I kind of been learning since... I think I started my first piano lesson when I was like 5 or 6. But the Doc Siders is kind of where I took all of the skills that I learned, like learning piano and just learning music theory, and kind of put them into real life, you know?
And so you teach Josh when he's wrong. You make sure that he gets it straight, right? That's cool.
No, he's good.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And what about your writing, Josh? Because I wonder where it comes from. I mean, that makes sense, Alexander. You have this inspiration when you're young. I mean, I was really inspired by Harry Potter when I read Harry Potter, but I wasn't young. Where do you get that from? Or when did it first bite you?
Right. I wasn't really into writing my own music for like the longest time. I was mostly just into like learning songs, and then that was kind of it. And so, it wasn't really until I got into I got into like recording a little bit, and just having that medium and being able to, you know, you're in control. That's when I started getting like more inspired to like record my own stuff and obviously write my own stuff. And so that was probably when I was about like 14 or 15.
When you first started, I'm always fascinated by this because I can't do it. Caitlin can. Play other people's music or sing other people's music, like lyrics. I can't hear lyrics. I have to read them. I can't hear them. You're right in this room, and I hear the music,
right.
and it's beautiful. Where was I? on playing other people's music, because you must have done that first, don't you? I mean, you sing other... Like you said, you had a different a melody that you put your words to, and I'm sure that you wanted to copy someone else to learn it. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, I guess that's how it goes. I mean, the first time that Josh and I played together, I heard this song by Bon Iver. It was called Skinny Love, and I just it really spoke to me. So I was like, hey, Josh, I knew him from Docksiders. I was like, hey, Josh, do you want to like meet after school today in the band room and just like play this song with me? It's really cool. And he listened to it, and he liked it, too. He liked the guitar part, so...
And that's how it all got started.
Yeah, that's
cool.
In the band room on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then we recorded that, made a little YouTube video. And I remember going over to a local coffee shop after, and we were just, like, hanging out, planning what song to, like, learn next.
Yeah,
so.
It just sort of became a weekly thing after that. We were, like, meeting up on Wednesdays after school, doing little cover videos, and then... You know, before we knew it, we had a repertoire, and we could start performing.
Then we started performing.
Yeah.
You know, Josh, you said you got out of sports, and no, but the thing is that people have different passions. People have different ways to relax. People have different ways to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, listening to music is all of the above. You know, when I listen to music, and I sort of really envy people who can create their own or even play other people's music. But do you get that? The creative process, I'm sure, at times can be stressful.
Uh-huh.
But it also can be all those other things I just said, an escape, enjoying, stress releasing, and so on. Do you get that, you guys? Do you get that out of that when you are creating? And I'll ask Greg the same thing.
I definitely do. Writing lyrics for me is really what helps me. Honestly, when I'm like having a stressful day, I'll start writing lyrics. Just to like kind of, I don't know, relax and stuff. For him, I know it's probably more the music.
Yeah, definitely more the music. But it's a little bit tricky getting like that first idea. But then like for me, it's kind of like a huge snowball effect, and you get like this huge rush, and it's like the only thing you want to do for the next like several hours is just like bang this whole song out. I kind of like do it in a big sort of cluster, and then it's just getting the idea that's kind of like the slower part of it.
He'll get an idea and then he'll stay up until however long, like 2 a.m. to finish the idea. Like he just goes on a run with it, where I'm more like, I'll get a lyric idea and I'll let it sit for a few days, and then I'll like add a little something and let it sit. He just like, it all comes to him at once. It's really amazing.
And what about you, Greg? The question I just asked. I mean, that the creative process, is it stress releasing at times? And you know, it's an escape into music.
Yeah, I mean, I come down here to the studio and just love to. Well, I have my pick of what I want to play with, but it took me 50 years to get what I have here. But I'd love to just sit and play. My 12-string is my favorite, and you know, if I come up with a little tidbit, I'll record it on my phone and then show it. I collaborate with Paul, the guitarist in my band, and other people in the band. And it's just, I was never good at sports, and I never really cared for sports. So that's why I picked up the guitar, you know.
I wasn't asking, but we used to hang around the ball field. We saw you there,
I was the bat boy for Rick's team that my father was the coach of back in the day, back in the 70s. But so people who are out there trying to say, where have I heard these names before? If they've ever been to an event in Gloucester at the high school or a military event, you guys are usually there singing the national anthem and playing the guitar and singing along.
Yeah.
So most of our listeners have seen you if they didn't know your name. So now they know who you are.
And the other thing is, too, people who don't listen to us are very familiar with you as well. You have visited some of the elderly folk. And, what's that like to perform for them? Because I've heard some really good things.
That's my favorite like thing to do. Honestly, that's my favorite performance, because I feel like they're just so like appreciative of the music. They really just take the time to sit there and just listen. And, you know, when you're playing at a restaurant, you don't really get that. I mean, people are listening, but it's kind of like they're talking and they're listening at the same time. Whereas when we play at these like elderly homes or wherever, They really appreciate it, and they're really grateful. And we just get the time to, like, spend time with them, you know what I mean? So
it takes a lot of pressure off, as opposed to other performances as well, because usually when you're playing at, like, a restaurant, you're worried about, you know, like, reputation and, like, how well you do and all that. But, like, when you're there, you know, it's just, like, you're just doing it for the love of music and for the love of people, you know? It's a lot less nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
So you say a restaurant, you can't do bars yet, can you?
No, we actually do bars. We're at the
Are you guys at 21 now? Did you make 21?
No, I think it's 18 and up. Can't be there. If they're still serving food, we can be there. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, we're at the Beauport tonight, actually.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. So what is that like? I mean, I never even asked you this, but when you're up there and people are talking, they're doing other things, they're there for another reason, you know, you'll get there if you're not there already when people go just for you.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, they're not there just for you. So what's that like?
Makes me want to play louder.
Yeah. Same, yeah.
Get heard, you know?
I would say.
It is frustrating. I mean, we did a gig at Mile Marker a couple of years ago when I was at Moonraker. And, you know, we finished a song and it's like, chirp, chirp, chirp. And I'm like, hello. But when you watch videos of, like, people at the local bars, you hear just the plates clanking, and you know, it's distracting, but people aren't going necessarily to see you, they're going to eat or drink, and there happens to be a band there.
What's it feel like when you get their attention and someone afterwards says, oh geez, you guys are pretty good, who are you?
It's a great feeling. It's a really great feeling, and we make so many great connections too when we play at local places like that, so we're really thankful for that.
Yeah, we always meet at least, like, one person that'll come up to us, even at a busy restaurant, that'll be like, you know, I love what you guys are doing, and then, like, want to stay in touch and that kind of thing. We usually do have, just having one person makes the whole thing worth it.
So if you're out, like, support your local musicians, like, tell them that they did a good job, because it really makes a difference.
And this is Alexandra and Josh, so make sure you know that. And
right.
Absolutely, and we're going to talk about their stuff that they already have out.
Right. So, quick station ID. This is Greg Virg along with Rick Moore on Unfinished Music here from Beachbrook Studios, live at msonewsports.com. And today we are kicking off season 3. It was 3 years ago tomorrow we had our first show, and this is our 30th show. I did the math. So
congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Are we going to have a military parade? Or
When they could do the national anthem.
There you go. We could have a celebration.
Yeah.
Don't invite the Philadelphia Eagles, though.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah, we won't go into that. Anyway, so you're going to play another song. Oh, that can you flick the toggle switch on that amp? I turned it off a second ago. It's on the right side. Just flick it up.
Oh, it's on.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Nice.
All right, let's just do a quick me with the guitar. Just make sure we didn't lose anything when we were adjusting.
Check 1, 2.
Sounds
one,
good.
Two.
Okay, I'll give you a little reverb here, and you guys can have at it.
So this one's called Let's Pretend.
There lies you in between, lost in a haze, the trick of your gaze. You say you wanted to pretend. What made you choose to be a ruiner to end a good mentality? It was a game didn't want to play. You say you wanted to pretend. You never told the truth. You always made me blue. What kind of friend are you? Thank you. do, by telling lies and spreading around your excuse. For me, you aim to push all your blame. You say you wanted to pretend. You never told the truth. You always made me blue. What kind of friend are you? Who are you? You don't even know who you are. I don't think you do. You don't even know who you pretend.
That's over, right?
Yeah.
So, pretend, or let's pretend?
Let's pretend.
Let's pretend. Yeah. Really nice song. Excellent guitar work there, Josh.
Thank you.
And a beautiful guitar. So, we have a lot of people out there listening who, I assume, who are really into the gear. So, why don't we talk about the gear you have?
Yeah. It's a bit of a mouthful for some of these. So, for my acoustic I was doing earlier, this is a Martin SWOMGT. It's part of like the Sustainable Wood series, so it's like made of like, you know, ethical wood, I guess, so to say. And then for my electric, this is an Epiphone Emperor II Joe Pass signature model.
Oh,
there's
nice.
There's a bit of a story behind that one.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
So we were... This was at Alexandra's house during her graduation party. So, like, you know, we're all having a good time enjoying her graduation party. And then she was like, oh, I got something for you. And I was like, wait, what? And so, like, she has me sit down. Everyone's pulling out cameras. I'm like, oh, no, something's going to happen. And so she's like, hold out your hand. She puts this, like, little thing on my hand. It was, like, a little tiny guitar case. I open it up. It's a little tiny guitar. Have you ever been to Tux in Rockport? They have these little tiny guitars. I was like, oh, it's
model
so cute.
Guitar.
Little tiny guitar model. And then, like, I was enjoying that, and then I look up, and then she has this big actual guitar in her hand. I'm like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she got me this from her graduation, and it's, like, the best thing ever.
All right.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's my 50th birthday present right there, the red Rickenbacker.
Yeah,
so,
that's gorgeous. A nice present.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to. Right. But that's a beauty. I really love that guitar.
I love this. Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't we...
Not yet. I want to ask Alexandra. You guys both started after Gloucester High School in different places.
Yeah.
Actually, you started in the same place together,
yeah.
But now you're in different places, so tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm at Berklee College of Music in Boston, and Josh is at Boston University in Boston, so it kind of works. We're at two different schools, but literally, like, they're one stop away on the Green Line, so it works. So, yeah, we're in Gloucester on the weekends, and then in Boston during the week. So.
Yeah, still
in the school year.
Still time to do, like, you know,
gigging,
practicing,
yeah.
All that stuff.
And the transition from Gordon to... Was it Gordon?
Is that yeah.
Yeah, we were both...
From that to Berklee, tell me about that process, because that must have been exciting.
It was exciting, yeah. I studied mostly classical at Gordon, which classical is great to learn, like, foundational stuff, and some people really have, like, a natural ability at classical, but it's not my passion. I do respect the art. It's a beautiful art form. But so jazz is my passion, so kind of being able to study jazz on a daily basis and have my homework being like, transcribe this Miles Davis solo, you know, it's just really amazing to be able to like study that in the middle of the city too. So, yeah.
And do you have music at BU?
Yeah, there's music. I'm interested in joining the one of the bands. I haven't done anything for the spring semester because that's when I started out at BU, but there's a lot of opportunities there. Yeah, in terms of studying, I'm more focused on computer science, but obviously we still have, like, I'm still committed to music, you know.
I teach him what I learn at Berklee.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's terrific. So you're able to get together in the evenings and stuff, despite the different schools?
Yeah.
So
right.
You guys both living in town then?
Yeah.
In Boston?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Terrific.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's it for now.
No, that's good info, but that's wonderful that you guys still have the opportunity to keep playing, you know, even while you're away at school.
Right.
So at least you're not in, you know, California and she's over here. That'd be kind of
yeah.
A little more difficult to Skype rehearsals.
Yeah.
But so you guys have spent a lot of time recording this album. When did you start the process, the album?
I would say probably two songs on the album are from our EP. We just kind of rearranged them and added some more instruments. But
complete re-recordings of them?
Yeah, yeah, complete re-recordings. But then I would say the majority we've done over the past year, I would say.
So the EP is out, so why don't we let people know, so everybody get your pencils ready. It's available at your website?
Yeah, alexandraandjosh.com is our website. And
spelt out, A-N-D?
Yeah, yes. And is spelt out. Yeah, our EP is available on there to listen to. It's called Over the Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I listened to it the other day.
Thank you.
And so the CD, the new full-length CD, how many songs do you have on there?
11 songs.
11, nice. Yeah. When do you anticipate that it'll be ready and available on Spotify and all the usual suspects?
So the release date is August 3rd, and we're actually having a big album release party, too, at the Elks on August 3rd from 7:30 to 10:30. And it's open to the public. We're not charging to get in. We just ask that everybody, like, make some sort of an effort to get a CD because we really want you all to listen to the songs and everything. So, yeah.
All right. So, everybody, mark that on your calendars. August 3rd at the Elks, 7:30 to 10:30.
Yep.
And I assume there'll be a performance as well as some recordings played.
I got two friends from Berkeley that are joining us, so we're going to have a full band.
Oh, beautiful.
Upright bass. We're excited about that. I love upright bass. And then drums. And then Josh is going to be on guitar, obviously, and I'll be on vocals. And I'm excited. And piano, actually. And I'm excited because Josh will get to like do some solo work, which you can't really do when it's just one instrument.
Right,
but
right.
His solo work on the new album is great. The new album's a full band sound, so...
All
that
right.
Josh is playing all the instruments on, because he plays all those instruments.
Oh, right. So everything is you. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Nice. So let's hear a track from the new album, which Rick, what we'd like to hear.
Is it Someone to Call Home?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Someone to Call Home. All right. Someone to Call Home from the forthcoming album, which is?
The Color Lilac.
The Color Lilac.
Searching. Looking for somewhere to stay, a place to feel safe, looking for someone to call home. How long is always is forever too cliche for you to want to stay? How long? How long is always is forever too cliche?
Always is forever too cliche for you to All right, that was Someone to Call Home from the forthcoming album by, I almost said Drake and Josh, you know, from the, by Alexandra and Josh, which is called The Color Lilac. And you, as we were talking while the song was playing about a cellist you had on this album.
Yeah. His name is Torben Ense. He's actually from Taiwan, which is really cool. He joined us for a few of the songs on the album that have cello in it, so we're really excited for that. We're trying to get him to fly back for the album release party. We'll see if it happens or not. But
wow, that would be commitment.
That would be awesome, yeah.
So the song that we just played, you're all the voices on that.
Yeah.
So it sounded. So how many dubs did you have for the background, the woo woo stuff? It sounded like at least three people.
I want to say there were three different harmonies to it, but then we recorded like two parts on each one so that it was like kind of stereo effect.
Cool.
So there were like six different
takes
on that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when you record, when you do the main voice, you know, are you listening to the background? Or you're just recording this and then you mix it together. I don't know how this stuff works.
Yeah, I listened to like the band, but the background vocals I did after the voice.
Oh,
the
okay.
Main voice
ah,
on,
so then did you listen to yourself soloing when you did the background?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay, I see how that works. And Josh, you did all the instruments?
Yeah.
Damn.
It was. Yeah. It was.
Damn.
It was a bit grueling, but it was. Yeah. We kind of.
I'm going to interrupt you. Do you lay those down separately, or do you listen? Do you lay down the first one, then you listen as you do this? Tell me about the process.
It's all building up on top of each other. So we usually start with like guitar or bass on a do that to a click, and then do the drums after that, and then you can just kind of add other stuff, which would be like keys and all that that's needed.
You do a scratch vocal for the first. Or you
no,
just sort
we
of
do, we
just
do, we did all it. The instruments first.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
And then vocals was like the last thing that we recorded.
Yeah. I actually, did I do piano on that one? I think I did piano.
On Someone
one.
To Call Home, yeah, I did piano. We kind of interchanged on
the
piano.
And who writes all the music? Because you're reading from a sheet, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we make sheet music for our songs, but we both write the music for it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. It's
pretty easy. We take turns because some music notation software can be a little bit gruesome to
use. Well, a lot of the stuff was just kind of in the moment, too.
Yeah,
like
that too.
Not all of it was,
of it was notated, but the bass was. So, yeah.
All right. And in the background, you can hear my guinea hen squawking out there. nothing to worry about. Unless there was a coyote in the yard, then you'd hear her really squawking.
I almost put beach something or other again on
Beechwood
on the
promo. Yeah.
So I went with Gloucester. I'll remember it at one point.
It's Beechbrook. I'm assuming that brook is called, that's in my backyard, is called Beechbrook because it's Beechbrook Cemetery.
Well, it is now. So.
It is now in my estimation. That's what we're going to call it. So you guys want to, we've got a lot of time here. You want to do another live song?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, what do we? What have you got for us?
This one's called Copper Pennies.
Copper Pennies. really sweet. And thank you for that little stop sign you gave me, Alexandra.
Me too.
We love those pauses.
Yeah. They're not allowed here on this show.
Yeah.
And
we'll kill that, that's for sure.
Now, in addition to me being a musician and real estate agent, I'm also a numismatist, which my wife calls a nerd. I collect coins. And pennies are all zinc now because the zinc lobby won't let us get rid of the penny. But what is the origin of the copper penny song?
So when I was little, I went to this pond in Rockport, actually, with my mom. We used to go down for walks, like, almost every day. And there was this little pond there that you could throw pennies into and, like, make a wish. And I would always notice that they looked like little diamonds. Like, I don't know. I liked how the light caught them. They looked really pretty. So that was kind of the inspiration for this.
It's a really nice song. And, again, excellent guitar work.
Thank you.
So the creative process with you two, I was just thinking as you were playing that song, performing that one, do you sometimes, Alexandra, have... what you consider to be something really great, really powerful, and this is it, and Josh, you need to get the music to this now, and vice versa. You got the music and say, Alexandra, you need to get some lyrics to this, because, man, I got to get this out there.
That's basically how it is, yeah. I would say that's how it is. Sometimes, like, it'll be, like, I don't know, like, midnight, and Josh will send me a text with, like, an MP3 that he just wrote, and it'll be like, I just wrote this, like, we got to start this one soon, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, and then you've got your snazzy poem.
I'm just like,
whoa, we gotta do something.
Yeah, I have like this little book that has all my stuff in it. It's a mess, but.
And do your lyrics, do they sort of create in your own mind what the music should be?
Yeah. This one actually, he wrote the music to it first,
I
thought it was so delicate. And kind of like almost haunting, but not quite haunting, like the kind of bittersweet, I guess you would say. So I tried to think of like some sort of memory to write this one about.
The music is almost sad, but not
quite. That's why, I don't know, I thought that, because I miss those times, those simple times, you know what I mean? But it's also happy, like this song I feel like is both of those things, so, yeah.
Okay, again, Greg Berger along with Rick Moore on Unfinished Music, and our guests today are Alexandra Grace and Josh Cominelli, also known as Alexandra and Josh, and your new album is coming out in the coming weeks, August 3rd.
Yeah.
At 7:30 to 10:30 is the release party at the Elk, so be sure to come by and show your support and hear a live performance and get a copy of the CD. So,
Where are you next locally?
Tonight, actually, 6 to 9, we're at the Beauport.
Oh, that's right.
So we're looking forward to that.
Have you been there before? Have you done that before?
He actually works there.
Yeah. I work there. We haven't played there before, but, you know, we got the connection. So.
Yeah.
Might as well use it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And what about other stuff coming up? Anything?
Yeah,
we're
playing at the Rockport Farmers Market in July. We're also playing at Feather and Wedge in July.
All this stuff's on our Facebook page,
yeah,
on
we
our
have
website.
Everything on our events page of our Facebook or on our website. We have a whole events. There's like a whole bunch of stuff coming up, so be sure to check that out.
All right. And the Facebook page is just
Alexandra
and Josh.
Alexandra and Josh, yeah.
All right, yeah. Folks, go on, check out their Facebook page and be sure to like it and check out their web page and listen to the EP and keep up with what's going on in the coming weeks.
What's the best... what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say response, but maybe some either a text, an email, a phone call from somebody when they've heard your music, somebody maybe you know or don't know. And I'm thinking particularly, I hope Mr. Adams has checked in with you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has he?
Yeah. Okay. We actually saw him at the alumni concert a month ago, and it was great to see him. He was like... He was saying how proud he was of us and everything. So.
And what's the process like at school? Because you're already achieving great success, but they have their own way of doing things, right? So this is your first year. How does that work? Is it reinforcing what you're doing, that you know you're doing something right, and that maybe, okay, I can tweak this? Or do you sometimes, like I've had kids in class tell me, Mr. Moore, you don't know any math. I know more than you do. How does that work? How has it worked so far?
Like learning music?
I guess what I'm trying to ask is you're in this setting to really hone your craft and learn so much more now, but you also have so much experience and know so much. So how is that meshing together?
Yeah, so I would say a lot of it is with my private instructor. Her name's Sarah Curvin. She's awesome at Berklee. She really takes my vocal tone and has me work it into different styles of music, because I'm not going to use the same tone I am on jazz that I am on this type of thing. You know what I mean? It's like if you're a guitar player, like Josh isn't going to use the same tone for that type of music that he would for heavy metal. You know what I mean? So it's really learning how to use the different, like, head voice, chest voice, different parts of your voice to create different tones, I would say. That sort of thing. And then in the classroom, just really learning more music theory, more complex, like, jazz theory and stuff like that I can put towards our writing, and then show Josh what I learned so he can put it towards his writing. So, yeah.
So what's the learning process for you like, Josh? Because you had this experience also through high school, and then you're on the road, and you guys are learning together. But take me through the learning process for you and how you have progressed from maybe where you started in the sixth grade or maybe when you started guitar, mm-hmm. and now you're working with a vocalist.
Yeah, I mean, all through middle school, I played guitar on my own, and so like I didn't really have any sort of instructor for doing that. It started sophomore year of high school was when Doc Cyrus really gave me a hand with that kind of stuff, because like that's when I started doing notation on guitar and all that, and all the fancy jazz chords and all that. That's really helped me expand with what I can use, you know, for as an arsenal for what we write with. And especially at Gordon, doing classical guitar, that was a really big jump for me in my like technique, mm-hmm. and just like just, you know, ability, agility, and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm really grateful that I was able to you know, bring up my guitar playing itself, you know, and it's, I don't know, it lets me play more, you know, elaborate stuff in what we do, like you're like a lot of more finger style and fancy
yeah.
whatnot.
He started with trumpet, actually.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Is the classical background, maybe this is a question for both of you, but the classic learning classical guitar, for example, I think you mentioned agility and is it more complex, and that,
yeah.
that lends itself to making you more at ease when you play other music?
Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the things I love so much about classical guitar is it's like you kind of have, you listen to a song that's with a band, you got the percussion, the bass, and like and the melody, but like you kind of incorporate all that into one instrument when you're doing classical guitar. You've got like your thumbs doing like little bass line, you got little mm-hmm. melodies. It's kind of like all in one. And so I feel like whenever I write something, it kind of feels like an independent song. But then when she adds lyrics, then it brings it to like a whole new mm-hmm. level. So
awesome. And Alexander, I'm curious about your experience with the classical music, because so many of the great rock and roll bands, the
yeah.
great, you know, metal bands, were classical musicians to begin with. So how
yeah.
is that influence, or will it influence you think in the future?
Honestly, classical music helped me so much, because I would say for endurance. Because I can sing for 4 hours now and not get vocally tired because I have the right technique. Whereas before, when I was younger, I could sing for maybe an hour, but then I'd start to get tired because I wasn't using the right technique, you know what I mean? So it's really helped in that sense. But also, I would say in especially arias, the phrasing of music is so important, and it's really helped me with writing lyrics, because writing phrases is so important when you're writing. So yeah, I would say it helped me in those two areas a lot.
I think a final question I have curiosity wise is Greg and I always ask about the creative process, and that's impossible to define, I know, but when it happens and how it happens, and I'm curious, how does that happen for you? Are you walking along? Are you in class? Are you driving a car? Are you asleep at night? How does that happen?
Yeah, so
or all of the above.
I go for rides a lot, and I'll just start thinking. And a lot of times I'll actually have the like notes, or not notes, the like recording section on my phone open and just have it recording while I'm driving. And I'll just like start thinking, and I'll just start singing little melodies. Or I'll just start thinking of lyrics. And then sometimes I'll like pull over and start writing actually in my little songbook that I have. I would say that's a big part of it. And then also just like everyday experiences, I would say I'll just particularly like sometimes just pay attention to things mm-hmm. in the world that's going on, especially living in Boston. If you just look around you, you're
right.
going to see tons of unique things happening, and unique people to write about. So I would say just paying attention to that.
Do you sometimes just write phrases, words, or just pictures
yeah.
that you're going to use later?
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean anything right now.
All of my songs start like that. So like Someone to Call Home, for example, I just had that phrase in my head. And I had that phrase, I had it literally written down for probably 4 months before I actually wrote that song. So, yeah, it kind of starts with, like, even one word. It'll start with, like, the Copper Penny song. I just had Copper Pennies,
right.
And that's it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, musically, the ideas usually come when I'm just... This usually happens, like, at night, like, late at night. I'll just be on my guitar. I don't even have the intention of writing a song. I just like to just, you know, play through whatever I know and improvise and do a little bit of just, like, noodling around, and then the idea comes. And then you can't stop. Like, you just have to get... Like, I might not necessarily have the whole song written out at that time, but I at least need to have, like, the idea, the groove, like, the, you know, the emotion, all that.
When you have something like that, Josh, if you lose it, let's say... You know, you're doing it, and you finally say, okay, it's too late, I can't do this anymore tonight,
mm-hmm.
I'll check on it tomorrow. Can you get it back the next day?
I always record it on my phone. I never want to lose the, because even if you look back on it the day after and you're like, man, this isn't really what I thought it was going to be, like, you can kind of let it sit, let it age a little bit, and then you come back to it when you need more ideas, and you kind of look at it in a new light, and then you're like, you know what, I actually think I can use this, and it'll
even
work.
Even if it's just a section of it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I love it when they use the phrase "when I was younger" and let it age.
Yeah, we're only 20.
Yeah. Well, you guys are ahead of the game right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Thank
so,
you.
I think you get a great sound, and the songs I've heard from the new album sound pretty good. And I'm looking forward
Thank
to the release party again, August 3rd at the Elks. Be sure you stop by, folks, 7:30 to 10:30. And be sure to check out your Facebook page and website, which are both Alexandra and Josh. So, you don't have any more live stuff for
we
us?
Can do the recording.
Yeah, we're gonna go out with the recording. But let me do some quick housekeeping here. First of all, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us so much.
Yeah, it's been a great show, great chat, and great tunes. Coming up on July 18, we have Sophia Gadboys. So stay tuned for more details on that. And we're lining up some more stuff for the summer, but we could use some more guest ideas. So if you have somebody you'd like to see on the show, give me a call, 508-284-3399. This is Greg Verga. That's my cell phone. And Rick's got a question.
Summer's going to be a little less because we have a very busy schedule for many, many different reasons. So we're not going to have the usual every other Wednesday type thing.
Right. We've been doing like once a month anyway. But even if you have someone who wants to come in for the fall or the winter, it's never too soon to plan ahead. So again, this is Greg Verga along with Rick Moore on Unfinished Music, live from Beachbrook Studio, and you can find us at msonewsports.com. The show will be available for streaming very soon, so share it with your friends, and thanks for tuning in. We're going to go out with the song from the forthcoming album, The Color Lilac, and the song is entitled...
Indigo Inferno.
Indigo
is the color, right?
Yeah.
Indigo Inferno. Any story about this song before we go into it?
Yeah. I had an assignment for a class to write lyrics to a 12-bar blues, and I kind of had just the idea, just like the Indigo Inferno idea, sitting around for a while, and so I actually wrote these lyrics for a class, and I showed them to Josh, and he's like, "Oh my God, we have to use these," and I was like, "Okay."
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay. Indigo Inferno. Thanks for coming in, guys.